The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Thank you, Richard. Good morning. Over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at this theme of speaking blessings over Rangeville Community Church. And as you came in this morning, I trust you received a copy of this. These are the words that we've been speaking about for what has been the previous five messages and today's message as well. And I've been unpacking those as this sense of what God is saying. It's also a sense of what I've been praying for about the last three and a bit years as well. And as we've talked about blessings, we've talked about this idea that a blessing is to speak God's intention or favour over someone or some situation. The situation includes businesses, it includes churches, it includes environment. And the intention of a blessing is to declare God's favour, to take someone from where they are to where God intends them to be. And so for us as a church, it's who we are at the moment and what God has been doing in us, but there's more that he wants to be able to do through us, within us, and then to make an impact across the city and nation and nations. And so it's about taking us from where we are to where God intends or wants us to be into the future. And so this blessing that we've been looking at is speaking out what is God's calling, the values and visions. And we've based it on those sense of who we are in terms of culture, on prophetic words we've been given about our future, on key scriptures that are really significant to Rangeville in terms of what's guided us in the past, as well as key commandments that Jesus gave us as well. And as I said in week one of these, some of you who have been at Rangeville for a long time have heard these messages and you've gone, well, there's nothing new in that. Well, I'm actually pretty happy about that, because what that means is that through a lot of prayer and fasting, we sought to discern over many years what it is God's calling us to do and who he's calling us to be. And if we're in line with that and we're going where God wants us to be, then we should celebrate that. That's a reason to be thankful. On the other hand, there are some who've maybe joined Rangeville in the last while, and I hope for you it's been a chance to hear some of our past, some of what God is doing now, some of our vision, our values, and the prophetic words of where it is that God still has in store for us to go. And so with this copy of this blessing you've been given, can I encourage you to hang on to it and use it? Use it as an outline for prayer. Speak it as it is, as a blessing. And put it somewhere where you're going to see it. So for quite a number of you, that means on the fridge, right? For others, you might put it in your Bible, and therefore when you're opening your Bible and reading from that, you see this as a prompt. For some, you might use a prayer journal. For some, it's in the car. Just don't close your eyes when you're driving. Wherever it is that's going to facilitate you to be able to speak this out over our church, can I encourage you to do that? If you want an electronic copy to keep on your phone or your iPad, then let me know. I'm really happy to send you an electronic copy. And we believe this is what God has been saying to us about what he wants for Rangeville. Because when we look at these words, we really believe that he wants us to be a light on a hill, to be bringing light into darkness and shining the pathway to God. We really believe that God wants us to be bringing love, healing and freedom to the community through Jesus Christ. We really believe that he wants us to honour him in all that we do, in loving him first and foremost, and through that loving our neighbour as ourselves. We really believe that he wants Rangeville to be a safe, loving and accepting place where people grow in their love of God and one another. We believe that he wants us to open the word of God and teach from it so that we come to know him and to know his ways for our lives. That he wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. So worship is a way of life in all that we do and say and wherever we are. We believe he wants us to experience his presence, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so people can see visions, where they can hear from God clearly, where they experience the supernatural power of God, that we would receive that and not just hold it to ourselves, but we'd release that. We'd release that in a way that would bring healing to people's bodies, to their soul, their mind, their will, their emotions, and spiritually. We believe that he wants to work through us, his people, to attract people, to get to meet him, to experience him personally, so that as they do that, their lives realign from where they were to what God's good plans and purposes are for their future. That he wants to use us to make many disciples of Jesus Christ, who in turn will make disciples of Jesus Christ. That he wants to help Rangeville disciple its people so effectively that they go out to release the kingdom of God through the manifestations of God's love, through redemption through Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. That he wants each one of us to flourish by knowing him and using our spiritual and natural gifts. And he wants to open the storehouses of heaven to release the resources needed for the ministry that God wants in and through Rangeville. You see, when we put it that way, what we're saying is we believe these are the things, God, you want for us in order that we will be the church you want us to be, to have the impact, the kingdom impact that you want. That it's your heart that every single church would be doing what you want. And we'll be making the impact that you want, that collectively every church uniquely doing what it's been called to do would have a huge effect for the kingdom of God. Now, for us to do these things that we believe God's calling us to do, it's going to take some resources. And that's what I want to focus on today. And so if we think back to God taking his people, the Israelites, from Egypt to the Promised Land, he was taking them from where they were, and he was taking them through the desert to the Promised Land, to where he wanted them to be. Remember, that's the definition of blessing, to take you from where you are to where God wants you to be. And God had said, I want to take you to the Promised Land. But in that journey, there were resources that were needed by the people of God to be able to make that journey. Now, one of those resources was food. And so what we see is that as the writer of the Psalms was looking back at that journey for Israel, he said, they asked and he brought them quail. He fed them with the bread of heaven. In other words, God was giving them the resources from heaven for them to be able to go from where they were to where God wanted them to be in the Promised Land. And so in that same way, we've got to ask God, what are the resources that we need to go from where we are to what you have as your plans and purposes for this church? And so when we think of these resources, we can think about them in terms of the spiritual aspect of resourcing, as well as, if you like, the physical or material aspects of what God is wanting to release in order for us to do what he wants us to do. And so if we start at the spiritual level, the greatest resource that is needed comes through prayer. It is prayer. We need to ask God to release the resources that we need to be the church he wants us to be. And we should never underestimate the power of prayer. Last week, I shared with you how the previous week we talked about disciple making, and having spoken about the Great Commission, that Jesus commissioned us to go and make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey everything that he commanded them, these three core parts of what it is to make disciples. And as we reflected on those scriptures, we then talked about what it meant to bless people as disciples who make disciples. I was really interested that having collectively as a church, having spoken that together, God, would you bless us to be disciples who make disciples, that within 2 days of that, we saw two people give their lives to the Lord. I think that's God saying, let me encourage you. Prayer is powerful. Let me encourage you that when you bless and release my favour, then I am hearing and I'm answering your prayers. Each year, I seek to try and read through the Bible from cover to cover. And I no longer use a paper Bible to do that. I use electronically. I use an iPad and an app. I need an app to sort of let me know what I need to do each day in terms of those scripture readings. And at the moment, this week, I was reading through 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is what it says. On him we've set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. This is the Apostle Paul writing. And what Paul, who is travelling from city to city, all through this diverse region, planting churches, making disciples, what he's saying? As you help us by your prayers. In other words, the church in Corinth, in praying for Paul's ministry, is making a difference for the kingdom. And he's noticing that there's this gracious favour that is happening upon him and his team that are with him. Why is that gracious favour? It's in answer to the prayers of many. You see, when you pray, God releases favour. When you pray, God moves powerfully. And so in the same way as Paul was acknowledging that in the prayers for him, your prayers for the ministry team, for our elders, for staff, for each and every one of you is powerful in releasing that gracious favour that the kingdom of God would be released as people are doing what he asks them to do. And you know, as you pray for one another, as you pray for the church, for the life group leaders, all of these aspects, there are times that God's going to hear that and answer it straight away. So, for instance, this week I was felt to call someone. I called them. We talked. And then they said, would you pray for the fact I've lost my keys and I can't find them? I've been looking everywhere. And so we just prayed, and then a short while later I got a text. I found the keys. That's awesome. God's interested in your keys. God's interested in these in the everyday things of life, and there are times like that. He answers your prayers immediately. That's good. There are other times where God hears your prayer and he holds it. And in due course, when the time is right, he will answer that prayer. We see this in Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls of full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. What we're seeing here is that in the Old Testament, they often talk about the prayers are like incense that move towards heaven. So as the people would come faithfully and they would offer their sacrifices before the Lord, and as the sweet aroma of that went heavenward in the physical, the prayers that were associated with that were seen to be also going up to heaven, where they then come before Jesus. And we see here from Scripture that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and he's interceding or praying for us on our behalf. And so what we're now seeing is that as people are praying, their prayers have moved heavenward where they are being held before Jesus as he continues to intercede, that is, pray for each of you. And when the time is right, he releases the answer to that prayer to go out and make an impact in people's lives. And so, can I encourage you that as you pray, there will be times that you will see your prayers answered immediately, and there'll be times where you will wonder, where is that prayer being answered? When will that prayer be answered? But know that it is sitting before Jesus, And it will be responded to, it will be answered when the Lord knows the time is right. And so this morning, can I say thank you on behalf of Kylie and I for those of you who pray for us and for our family. Thank you for those who are praying for the elders and the staff of the church. Thank you for those of you who are praying for one another within the church family. Because you see, your prayers are being taken heavenward where they sit before Jesus, who's sitting on the throne at the right hand of the Father. And those prayers are being responded to and answered in the right time, in the right way, as Jesus determines. See, in the moment we're looking at this series on blessings, and one of the greatest passages in Scripture on blessing is found in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, it's a passage, that whole chapter is called Obedience for Blessings for Obedience. And we see there in verse 12, it says this: "The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none." The Lord will open the storehouses of his bounty, which are located in heaven. It's from this verse and others like it that we've taken the wording for this blessing over Rangeville, Rangeville Community Church. "I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ that he may open the storehouses of heaven to release the resources needed for the ministry that God wants in and through Rangeville." You see, when we look at this scripture, we see here that these resources are in heaven. And the Lord can open this storehouse of his bounty in response to the obedience and prayers of his people as they are doing what it is that he wants them to do. And we see that the release of these blessings comes in two ways. First of all, the Lord sends rain upon the land in season. So in that time, that was a largely agricultural community. They relied heavily on the rain falling at the right time in order to grow the food that was needed for them to have food to eat. And so the first part of this blessing was that as they walk in obedience with what God is calling them to do, he is releasing what is needed for them to have the food and material provisions that are needed. But the second part is to bless all the work of your hands. In other words, the Lord is wanting to bless what it is that you are called to do. As you do the work that the Lord is calling you to do, he is releasing his favor. And those blessings come upon you, but not just for you. They come upon you if you are doing what it is he's called you to do and using the giftings that he's given you. So last week we looked at this idea that there are natural gifts and there are spiritual gifts. And God gives these to you and calls you to be where he's asked you to be using the gifts that he's given you. Because when you do that, you flourish. You flourish when you are doing what you love doing, what you are gifted to do. And when you flourish, it impacts those around about you. So whether that's in your home, or whether that's in your school or university, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in your local sports club or your local community group, when you flourish in that place, it blesses all those around about you. And they flourish. In the case of if it's in your workplace, that flourishing brings economic favour. And that in turn blesses that business, and that in turn blesses the economy of the city. Because you are where you're meant to be, doing what it is you're meant to be doing. You see, when it says here to send rain on your land, when? In season, when it's required. The Lord provides what is needed when it's required, and the Lord blesses the work of your hands to make a difference in our community. When we look at this aspect of blessing, we see that God has poured out incredible blessings upon us here at Rangeville Community Church. We've seen miraculous provision of God's opening the storehouses of heaven. So one example would be back in 2005 when we needed to buy the land that this church is built on. And there's a whole series of miracles that went into that story. But in 2005... we had the opportunity to buy this land again, and we had about $550,000 in our Rangeville bank account, and yet to buy the land was going to cost in excess of $3.1 million. That's a bit of a gap. And yet, we had heard this prophetic word that we were to buy land, build a building, it would be done debt-free. And so we had to hang on to that because God was saying, well, this is where you are, but this is where I want you to be. So step out in faith and ask me about it. And so on the Saturday, the men had already organised a men's retreat, and so the program of that was sort of changed around a bit when we realised that there was this great prayer need. And so the men gathered together on the weekend and prayed. On the Monday night, the church came together to pray, and we asked the Lord for the money. We reminded him of the words of Psalm 50, verse 10. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. So we asked him to sell a few hills worth of cattle, because that'd help, right? And so, and remember too, that at the moment we're in the price of cattle is record high. Back then it wasn't anywhere near what it is. So the Lord must have sold a number of hills worth of cattle, because over the next week, $2.6 million was donated. I mean, that's a miraculous provision. That's God opening the storehouses of heaven to release the resources that are needed for the ministry that he wants. You see, it was your prayers coming before the Lord, being lifted up to heaven, Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf, that released what was needed in season, in that time. That's what this verse is saying. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season when it's needed, to bless all the work of your hands. Remember, this blessing is for when we are in obedience to what God's wanting us to do. And then it says, you will lend to many nations. In other words, you will flourish. And when you are flourishing, there will be an overflow that comes. And in that sense, there is a calling on this church to overflow, that we would bless our community, that we would bless our city, that we would bless our nation and overflow to nations. And that's not just saying, oh, this is just about Rangeville. No, God wants every church to be who he's called that church to uniquely be. And he's gifted them in certain ways that they too might flourish. And that each church, when in obedience to what God is doing, what he's asked them to do, that they would flourish in such a way that together we would see the kingdom of God come. We would see his will be done, just as we prayed earlier in the Lord's Prayer. And then from this, we look at the aspect of what this blessing all the work of your hands. With those blessings, it means that you in turn can start releasing resources. You're releasing them back into the work of Rangeville. You're releasing them into mission organisations. You're releasing them wherever it is that God's calling each of you in turn to release them. And as we do that, we are to do it generously. As we give generously, the Lord in turn releases from heaven. We see again this reference to the storehouses of heaven in Malachi 3:10, when it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. So, in case you're wondering about this aspect of giving at Rangeville, as you've already seen, we look at this, first of all, through the spiritual lens. We are called to allocate time and intention to prayer. We are called to be people of prayer, because as we do that, we hear what God wants us to do. We then are released to do what God wants us to do, and that sees flourishing. We see, secondly, this in both the spiritual and natural, as we use our spiritual gifts and our natural gifts and abilities to do what he's calling us to do. That releases God's favour. It releases the floodgates of heaven as we bring those gifts before the Lord. That doesn't just mean within the church. It's also meaning that you bring those gifts into your workplace, into your home, into your street, into your community group, into your sports group. You are to bring what God has given you to release favour, but also into the church. And as we give of our time and of our talents, we are playing our part in releasing the resources that are needed for the ministry that God wants. And thirdly, having given of our prayers and having given of our time and our talents, our gifts and abilities, we also give of our financial resources. And so here at Rangeville, we consider giving financially under four P's: priority, percentage, progressive, and prompted. And so this is something that we started talking about in 2012, and so there's been a flyer available in our foyer every week since 2012 that discusses these four P's. And if you want to grab a copy of that, if this is something new to you or you just want a refresher, I've made sure there's copies available at the registration desk this morning, or plenty of copies there, so that you can review this in more detail. But let me summarise this quickly. We commence with priority. If we look at 1 Corinthians 16, it says this: "Now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." In this, we're seeing that giving to the Lord is to be a priority. We are to do this. In this scripture, it says on the first day of the week, in our context, at the start of your paycheck, your pay cycle, when it gets deposited into your account, or when your business receives payment, in whatever context, the Lord, what it's saying here is take money at the start of that pay cycle, and having prayed and asked the Lord, how much do I give, you allocate that at that time. Because otherwise the risk is that if you wait to the end of the fortnight or whatever pay cycle or finance cycle that is existing for your business or your situation, you've already allocated money to pay for this and this and this and that and that, and you've just got what's left. And the Lord's saying, no, give first as a priority, intentionally plan. Secondly, we talk about a percentage. And we talk about a percentage from that same scripture. It says, set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. That means it looks different for every person. As you saw in Malachi 3 and in other places in the Old Testament, it talked about the word tithing. Tithing comes from the word a tenth or 10% of your income. And so in the Old Testament, they taught that you should give 10% directly to the work of the Lord. In the New Testament, we talk a lot about generosity. What is it to be generous to the Lord? And again, it's valuable to give as a percentage, because that's what the scripture says, a sum of money in keeping with your income. Now, for some people, particularly if they're not familiar with tithing, they go, 10%? That's a really hard concept. That's a lot of money. I don't know if I can afford that. My encouragement to you then is start with 5% or 8% or 9%, whatever it is. Pray and ask God, God, how much can I give? And then in faith, start to learn the practice of priority. Start to learn the practice of setting aside that percentage of money at the start of each fortnight or whatever your pay cycle is, and putting that aside then at the percentage that you can manage at that time. Establish the pattern of giving a percentage as a priority. And then this leads to what I'd call progressive giving. Progressive giving means that as you discover God is faithful and providing for what you need, in other words, as your faith is growing, start to progress your percentage and go, okay, God, you've been faithful as I've been faithful in giving 5%. I'm going to increase that to 7. Or I'm going to go from 8 to 10. Or some people are going to go, I'm going to go from 10 to 12. And discover again through prayer what it is the Lord's calling you to give. But then as you grow in faith and trust in the fact that he's your father, you're his child, he will provide what you need when you give according to what he's asking you to give, not above and beyond, not less than, but what he's asking each of you individually to do. And so we see this again in Malachi 3:10 when it says, "Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it." And so for Kylie and I, our experience has been as we've sought to live with this attitude of generosity, not to test the Lord. That's not our motive. Our motive is simply to say that as we have found that the Lord is faithful to us, we are able to give progressively. We are able to give generously. Now, some of you are immediately going, okay, I know how many kids I've got. I'm not sure I want those blessings of nine. Yes, we are richly blessed that way. But I'm talking about other blessings as well. Okay, I'm also talking about the fact that when you have nine children, that means you need a lot of blessings in order to resource nine children, right? And the Lord does that. The Lord provides what is needed for you. And so this is my encouragement, is when the Lord says, "Test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven," the Lord will provide what is needed for you as you walk in faith, listening to him as to what he's asking you to give. And that leads to the fourth P, which is prompted. You see, as we commit to giving to God as our first priority, as we through prayer discern the percentage that we're meant to be giving in this season, and as we pray about progressively increasing that, we still need to be open to promptings of the Spirit. So last year, for example, during COVID, we became aware of a need. Eva's Place let us know about a couple international students that were expecting a baby and were struggling financially, and so when we weren't able to meet in person and were recording from here and live streaming, I brought that need before you as a church and said, would you please give to Eva's Place? We're happy to collect it here on your behalf and send it. Now, we didn't ask for a certain amount. I didn't stand up and say, this is how much we need. But we knew we wanted about $1,800 to help. As a congregation, you generously gave over $5,000. You see, that was prompted. That was where we brought a need before you and simply said, this is a need, would you please pray? And as you prayed in response to that prompting and gave generously, it made a massive difference for that family. And so in turn, further blessings could be given in that situation. A prompting is when we give, such as I told the story earlier of the release of finances in order to be able to buy this block of land. That was a prompting. We prayed, God, would you please sell the cattle on a few hills? And the Holy Spirit prompted someone. And in turn, a donation of $2.6 million was given. That was a prompting of the Spirit. You see, we look at all of these different aspects of giving. And so I draw it this way now, where the green is prayer. All of this needs to be encompassed, bathed in an atmosphere of prayer. And so we're saying, God, help me as I seek to give as a priority at the start of my pay cycle. God, what is the percentage that you're asking me to give? God, I've been given that for a while now and I've seen you've been faithful. Is that meant to be increasing? God, there's a need that I've heard about, or maybe you haven't even heard about it, but the Spirit's prompting you and going, would you please give to a certain mission or a certain charity or to the building project or to the church or to whatever it is where you become aware of a need through the prompting of the Spirit. All of that must be bathed in prayer. You see, it's really important that we don't give out of fear. We don't give out of duty. We don't give out of guilt. We give out of relationship with a God who is our Father, who knows us, who loves us, and has blessed us. And we have the opportunity to bless others as we give. And through that, going back to Paul's comments to the Corinthians, as we pray for and as we bless others, they in turn are able to bless others. This is all part of the invitation for us to be releasing resources so that the ministries that God wants in and through Rangeville would come about and overflow to our city, to see God's kingdom come, to see his will be done. And so as I've wrapped up each week over this series, and today's the last one in this series, I'm going to invite you that if you're comfortable to join together and speak this blessing out over our church. And so would you join with me, please? Rangeville Community Church, I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ that he may open the storehouses of heaven to release the resources needed for the ministry that God wants in and through Rangeville. And as we wrap up every week, we come to this question of what's God been saying? Maybe you've heard it through what I've said, maybe you've heard it through what Brett said, or through the songs that the worship team led, but or maybe something else that the Lord's been speaking to you. And so let's just take a minute and stop and ask God, what are you saying to me today? And as you reflect on what it is you feel that the Lord is speaking to you about, then ask, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? With what you've just spoken to me about? How do I put that into action? What's that going to look like? Father God, thank you for the incredible blessings that you've given to us. We are blessed incredibly, abundantly. We say thank you for that. Lord, with those blessings comes responsibility for us to be a blessing. Lord, as we've gone through these last six messages, we pray that you would show us continually who we are, who we're becoming, where we're going, so that we would be the blessing you're calling us to be, so we'd play our part in seeing your kingdom come, that we'd be kingdom-minded people, that, Lord, this is about seeing flourishing of your people, of your church, of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, we get to be part of it. Thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us get to join together in this. And through prayer, through each person flourishing because they're where they're meant to be at that time, using the gifts that you've given them, both the natural and the spiritual, and through the giving of resources, we pray, Father God, that you would take all of this that we offer up before you. We hold it before you. Say, it's yours, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we get to partner together with you in the most beautiful, incredible way. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.